Tonight, I'm going to talk on what I would like to say is called finishing well and starting well, and also the two just kind of coincide. So a few years ago, I decided I needed to change some of my health habits. And this was because my job as a creative director, I'm typically sitting in front of a computer or at a table with a sketch pad in front of me. And I would say that most of my day, I literally am sitting from anywhere from like 8 to 12 hours a day, I'm sitting. And a couple years ago, there was a friend of mine that was in a lot of pain. And he was explaining to me that when he was my age, he was roughly about 15 years older than me, he said, "I wish that I never stopped working out because I sit in front of a computer all day, just like you, and my back just kills me every single day." And it kind of freaked me out, because I've been pretty healthy my whole life, but at this point, I was like, I haven't really thought about my health in the future. And so we all hear that idea, like what you reap in your 20s, you'll sow in your 40s. I mean, Josh just did a talk on it a couple weeks ago. And it's one of those things where you can either live a good lifestyle or you can live a bad lifestyle, but eventually it's going to catch up to you, either good or bad, and you would hope that it's the good side of that that's going to catch up to you. So this gave me some, what I would say, perspective on my health course. Like, what should I do with my health? I had two choices. Either A, take action, or B, I would just ignore it and continually to sit around all day and do what I do best is eat pizza and just hang out. So I started thinking about that, and it was like, no, this is not a good idea. This is when I got a crazy question from one of my best friends, Adam Tolman. He said, "Why don't you run a marathon with me?" And I said, "Sure, that sounds awesome. I'm up for that challenge. It sounds pretty easy. It's, what, 26.2 miles? That's not too bad. I got a gym pass. I can do this. I can train for it, right?" So I looked up some training schedules. I got some running gear. I hit the gym for the first time where I was actually like, okay, I'm doing this with a purpose and not just like going and just kind of being lackadaisical at the gym. But again, I didn't figure it'd be too hard. I did some rough math, and I was like, okay, 4 miles an hour to hit 26.2 miles at the six-hour mark. So if you've ever ran a marathon, you know 6 hours is like the time limit. So if you don't finish under that, technically you didn't finish your marathon on the official race time. And what that means is you have to run basically 15-minute miles to complete that in that time. And I was like, okay, that's not too bad. 4 miles an hour, I can do that. So I went to the gym, and I got on a treadmill, which I hate running on a treadmill. It's the worst thing on the face of the planet. But I ran a 16-minute mile the first time I got on a treadmill. And after that first mile, I was like, I don't want to run ever again. And at that point, I was like, oh, man, this is going to be rough. What I thought was going to be easy is not going to be easy. And again, it's just easier for me to grab an Estee pizza and sit and watch a movie than it is going to be to run this marathon. But roughly, it was like six, seven months later, I crossed the finish line of my first marathon. And my time was roughly 5 hours and 15 minutes. I did it. It was awesome. It was hard. It was a great deal of self-discipline. A lot of time was sacrificed. There was a lot of learning I had to do to get there, a lot of change in my lifestyle, change in my habits of eating and like how I spent my weekends and things of that nature. But I did it. I finished the race. And this is a cool photo, because this was, this is us, and you probably know all these people. They come to church with us. It's me, Adam Tolman, Steve Merrigan, Alex and Krista Crelo. And we all ran that race together, and it was pretty awesome. And I was done with this race. About 6 months went by, and I just started thinking about how much this actually related to my faith, and how much that 6 months goes by and how drastically things could be different. I could have not trained for the race and then went to run it and got hurt because I wasn't training properly and I didn't have the endurance or the ability to understand how to eat while I was actually doing this. And like, it kind of hit me. It was like, again, what I reaped 6 months ago is what what I sowed 6 months ago is what I'm reaping now. And I could have been real lazy, didn't put forth the effort, and it would have just been a completely different outcome. And one of those things that I've been thinking about even just like when I've gone back to school, it was like, well, 6 months is going to go by or a year is going to go by. All these things are going to happen regardless. And how I spend my time is how I'm going to be reaping in the next couple years, the next couple months, whatever it might be. I'm telling you this because this is kind of the backdrop of what I'm going to be teaching on tonight. And doing this, again, like I mentioned, actually increased my faith because I actually was relating to what Paul was saying in the Bible when it came to a lot of these verses. And if you look it up, Paul loved to relate your faith to the same thing as running a race. And we even see that right here in 1 Corinthians 9:24 through 27. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do this to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one boxing the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. And then in 2 Timothy 4:7, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. So when thinking about my faith, there are a few examples in my life, and this is the one that really relates to it. And Paul was really awesome in using this as relating runners or being an athlete to what it looks like with our relationship with Jesus. And so we need to learn, when we set our course, we need to set some outcomes. And in us, this is living in faith. And we need to see it to completion. We need to understand that running the race for the Lord takes self-discipline, it takes sacrifice, it takes others to help us, and we need to be determined to never quit. Just like with any sporting event, there is opposition. And we have to never fool ourselves into believing that there is not an enemy out there who wants to take us out, who wants us to fail and to not succeed in our race of this in faith. So how many of you in this room, and you can raise your hands actually with this question, how many of you set goals for yourself and you've never finished them? Raise your hands. Pretty much everybody in this room, and if you didn't raise your hand, you probably are lying about it. So whatever it was it a financial goal, a spiritual goal, a physical goal like running a marathon, a New Year's commitment to not smoke, to not drink, to not look at porn, to be more loving towards your spouse, to your kids, and the list can go on. And we can see that we've all failed in this, but with some good direction, we can understand that we can just pick ourselves back up, and what Jesus wants to do is continue to run the race in faith. So I'm going to pray, and then we'll get into it. Lord, tonight, I just thank you so much for your word, that is something that can always speak to us, Lord, that it's what you gave to us to communicate back to us. And your word is so amazing that it's something that we should be consuming on a daily basis. Lord, you even tell us that this is what we need to be consuming daily. And thank you for our church, Lord, that they've come out tonight. And I just ask that we can all learn something from your word and that whatever you have for us, Lord, we can continue to go forward with that. And I just pray for all of us, too, coming into the new year, Lord, that it is something that we can look back upon on our past and you can use that to teach us about the future. So we just commit our night to you. In these things we pray, amen. Okay, so I have 5 ideas tonight that I've took that I feel can be good to understand what it means to start and finish well in our spiritual race. And the first thing that I really learned was this. You need to learn self-discipline. This is a really big thing because it takes a lot of self-discipline to train, from scheduling to eating to knowing certain workouts. I couldn't get a good training day in if the night before I had stayed up late and drank a bunch of soda and ate a bunch of junk food. We have to learn to have self-control. And that just doesn't mean physical self-control. That means to have a good, godly self-discipline. And in 1 Timothy 4:7-9, have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Rather, train yourself for godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way. And it holds promise for the present life as for the life to come. This saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance. And then 1 Corinthians 9:27, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others myself should be disqualified. So how can we do that? Here's some basic things. And honestly, some of you might be going like, okay, I already know a lot of this, but it is so good for us to be reminded of it. And honestly, take a good look at your life and be like, do I just know this as a head knowledge, or is it something I'm actually applying to my life? So here's the first thing, your Bible. You have one, right? All of you do? If you don't have one, you have access to it online. We have a free Bible for you right back there at the Connections booth. There is no excuse for you not have a Bible, to have something that you can read every single day and commune with the Lord with. In Matthew 4:4, he says this. This is Jesus talking. And when he talks, we really need to listen. It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of God. So how can we get our daily nourishment if we're not in the Word? If we were to make it through this race, we need to be in the Word. And Christian, this is not an option for us. Get a plan. Get something. Just like with training for a race, you need to have some kind of plan. And so there's like thousands of plans out there, a one-year plan, a chronological plan. You can read through the Proverbs, read through the New Testament, read through the Old Testament. Just get something. And so just like when I started marathon training, I had to get a schedule. And I got one, and I followed it, and I stayed on that course. We even have a reading plan inside our Rock Church app that you can just go to it, and it says Bible, click on that, and there's a daily reading plan. So there's so many different ways that you can encourage yourself with a daily reading. Find something that works for you and just be consistent in it. This is your source of nourishment. God gave us the Bible for a purpose. He loves you, and on a daily basis, he wants to communicate with you. And when you're in your Bible, this is how he can do it. The next thing is prayer. Be consistent in this. Have a list and record your prayers. This is something that's kind of practical. Think about all the things in your life that you can be praying for, from your family, to your friends, to your pastors, to your small group, people that you want to share the gospel with. Prayer is the way that we communicate back with God. He communicates us through his word, which is the Bible. We communicate back with prayer. And this is something very special. This is something we get to do. Just like I love talking to my earthly father, I get to talk to my father in heaven just the same way. And it is something very special. He wants us to be with him. He wants us to cry out to him. He wants us to share in joy with him. He wants us to be with him. And how we can do that is being in the Word and being in prayer. Again, just something real practical is carry a little notebook with you and write down prayer requests in it. And then as you're going about your day and you're praying, pray through that list. We do this in our small group, and it's really awesome, is we actually write down all of our prayer requests from everybody every week. And then we email it out to everybody, and everyone prays through this list. And then when we come back together, we'll put a little red mark through any of the answered prayers. And it's just a really encouraging thing to look back and see the answers that, or prayers that were answered. But then also to see the prayers that weren't answered and to see, like, you know what? God probably had something better for me in this. And a lot of times, like, yeah, that was actually a good thing. That prayer didn't get answered because I got something completely different. And God was leading me in a different direction. And so sometimes we can be so down on unanswered prayers that those are a bad thing. But then 3-4 years down the line, you'd be like, oh, yeah, that's why that didn't get answered. Because God's leading me in a different direction. And some of those prayers may never even have something like that, but when you get to heaven, it'll be shown to you. But again, even just something as so simple as tonight I was speaking with someone in our church and she asked me to pray for her and I wrote it down, I sent it to myself in an email and I'm going to be praying for her. So again, went too far forward. Prayer walks, again, something practical. These are so good to do, to just get out and clear your head. Just get out at some point in the day and just walk and pray. Talk to God, pray through a list, whatever it might be. And part of my running routine would be this, is where I would actually pray for a couple reasons. It's great to bring God along with you in things because he wants to be with you in all things. And so as I was training for this, it was a really good time for me to actually focus on my relationship with Christ. I actually prayed a lot through running because it helped me keep my mind off of running, but then it also gave me a good time to just be outside and be in God's creation and pray to him. And then also, if I was maybe on a treadmill or something else, I could put on a message and listen to it or watch it, or the same thing with running. And it was one of those things where I found that you can bring God along with you in a lot of this stuff, and he just wants to be with you all the time. And we can do that with all things in our life. Even if it's at you when you're at work and you're just, I can listen to music or whatever it is. Let me listen to a message instead. There's so many things that God wants to be with you on a daily basis, and think for those or look for those opportunities to do that. Again, extended times, a way of prayer and fasting. And whatever that might look like to you, you might have heard the term dog day. That's a day alone with God. But this is something really good to get out of your normal comfort zone and just getting out and maybe going to in the mountains and camping for a night and just praying and fasting and being alone with God. Jesus did it multiple times throughout the Bible. We see him going away and praying. He'll be telling the disciples, I'm going to go away, I'm going to pray. And that's what he did. And I love this quote by Tim Keller. He says, prayer is both conversation and encounter with God. We must know the awe of praising his glory, the intimacy of finding his grace, and the struggle of asking his help, all of which can lead us to know the spiritual reality of his presence. We see that prayer is vital in our spiritual walk. Prayer only strengthens our relationship with God, but when we pray for other believers, it also strengthens our bonds between fellow Christians. And so we need to understand that prayer is not an option. This is something that we should enjoy doing and something that we should be doing all of the time, because God wants us to be doing that, and it's the way that we can communicate with him. The next thing is memorize large quantities of the Bible. Psalms 119:11 says this, I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. And Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God and what is good and acceptable and perfect. Think about this. David writes, and he's like, the word of God is written on my heart so that I might not sin. Every day, Christian, you are bombarded with lots of stuff, whether it be advertising or people talking to you or your social media or whatever it might be. There are so many things that are in your face and constantly grabbing for your attention. And it's so easy to just slip into certain sin and being like, oh, it's just around me all the time, so I'm going to do it. I'm going to look at this because it's just right in front of me. Or I'm going to do this because I can do it, or this or that. Whatever that sin might be that's trying to creep into your life, it's so easy to do when you don't have God's word memorized in your heart, because yourself, your conscience isn't understanding that. And so it doesn't know what the difference is and doesn't know how to discern what the will of God is. And so when we memorize scripture, what happens is your self-conscious starts to, nope, that's sin, don't do that. Okay, that's good, I'll stay away from that. Nope, don't say that, that's not good. Trying to help you not sin. And when you memorize verses, this will start to become more natural and more natural and more natural. And so we can waste so much time just scrolling through our Facebook feed instead of spending 2 minutes memorizing a verse. And when all that stuff is blurring, like vomiting on us, we can understand, oh, let's memorize a verse. And when it is, we understand what's real, what is acceptable, what is good, and what is perfect. So again, some practicals. Keep 3x5 cards with you, right? Put down a verse that you read in your quiet time and memorize it. I have a really bad memory. So like for me, like saying memorizing a verse once a week is really, really good. There's some people I know that can memorize a verse a day and 5 years later be like, yep, these are all the verses and I can repeat every single one of them. Find something that's good for you. Have a 3x5 card, write it down, keep it in your car, keep it at your job, keep it in your backpack, whatever it is, and just pull it out every once in a while and go through that verse. It's another way that you can bring God with you in everything that you're doing. You're at the line of the grocery store, pull out that verse. You might even start a conversation with the person behind you, like, what are you reading? I'm reading a Bible verse. Let me tell you about Jesus. Sometimes we have memory madness. We have that program. It's great. You can actually memorize verses and get Chipotle. It's great, okay? So there's all these ways that you can do it. And as a family, like if you have kids, write a verse down, a simple verse out of Proverbs, and have them memorize it, and you can memorize it as well. If you're constantly devouring the word of Christ, this verse, Romans 12:2, which is one of my life verses, makes so much sense. Because you will be able to discern the will of God when you're constantly writing those things on your heart. So again, do something that is good that you can be consistent with. Next is share the gospel. Most people will tell me, I can't run a marathon. 26 miles is just too far. There's some of you in this room, I know a couple of you have been, they run 100 miles, right? I'd probably tell them, I can't run 100 miles. So I agree with you on that. But here's the thing. When we're talking about what it is with the gospel, I can be like, it's hard to run 26 miles. But if I train myself, most of you in this room could probably run a 26.2 mile run. Or if you're like, a 13 mile run is really long, you could train yourself to hit that. Or even a 5K, which is 3 miles. If you train yourself and you have self-discipline, you can do these things. And so a lot of people tell me, oh, I can't share the gospel. It's just too hard. I don't know how to do it. It's just way out of the reach for me. I say, have you done it? No. Most of the time, that's the answer. Or what are you doing about it? Have you even tried to do it? And so a lot of times we can start putting ourselves in this box and be like, I can't do it because I'm not a pastor. I'm not a trained biblical scholar. I don't know how to share the gospel. And if you don't ever push yourself, you're never going to do it. Because just like with training for a marathon, if I didn't run that first mile, I would have never got to 26.2. But if I never try to share the gospel, I'll never do it. Because you have to start somewhere. So if evangelism, does that scare you? Does that term scare you? Is it one of those things where you're like, I will never do that. Something that is just too hard for me. I don't know how to do it. You realize that it just simply means spreading of the Christian gospel by publicly preaching or personal witness. You all have a personal witness. You don't have to be a pastor. You don't have to be formal biblically educated to do this. That last part says what? Personal witness. This is something we all can do. We all have people in our lives that we've built relationships with, whether it be at school or work or family or whatever it is. And do they know you're a Christian? Do they understand that you love Jesus with all of your heart? Have you actually ever talked to them and been like, look, I have a personal story here. This is how Jesus has changed me. Have you ever done that? If you never exercise in this area of your life, you're never going to get good at it. And the thing is, too, again, there is not a systematic way of doing it. Like, we have the outreach class, which is fantastic. But don't think you have to take the outreach class to learn how to share the gospel. You don't need to do it. When you pray and put God in the center of your evangelism, he is going to use you in mighty ways that you'll never even know. Push yourself. Just like with training, there are times when it is uncomfortable, where you're just like, I want to give up. This is not easy. This is so dumb. Why am I still doing this? But Jesus says, keep going. Keep running this race. I have something good for you. And so when it comes to evangelism, try it. Do something. And I'm really excited that actually for our core groups and small groups, for the next year, you're going to hear more about this, but we are actually going to be focusing on Mission of the City again, and a lot of it is going to be focused on reaching our community. So we're going to be giving you guys a huge opportunity to be able to go out and share your faith. And I just, again, this story, I've heard it used multiple times. Bill Young has used it, and it's awesome. There was a guy in Australia. His name was something Streets. I can't remember for some reason right now. And this guy basically just passed out gospel tracts every day of his life, 10 or so gospel tracts in Australia. And there were people actually later in life finding out that this gospel tract had led them to the Lord, and there was multiple people that this was happening to. And it's crazy to think about how this guy was just faithful in passing out a tract every day. It was like 10 tracts, I'm just going to pass those out. And people's lives were changed in all of eternity because of a simple gospel tract that he was passing out. He didn't even share the gospel with them. Somebody else did, but that card got them into a church. They realized that they needed something more, that they needed a savior, and that was something so simple. You guys all have arms. You can pass out a gospel tract. It's not hard to do, and there are so many ways that you can step out in faith and share your faith. We need to understand, Christian, that this is not an option. Sharing our faith is not an option as a Christian. We need to do it daily and as much as we possibly can. Here's a great quote. The world has yet to see what God can do with and for and through a man who is fully and wholly consecrated to Christ. Any method of evangelism will work if God is in the center of it. Are you willing to be used? Are you willing to be stretched and pushed to where you feel uncomfortable in sharing the gospel, but letting God do the work, not you? So next is additional study. Again, this is not a substitution for your Bible reading, but a supplement. Just like in any type of training, there's always something additional that you could be doing to get yourself better at doing it, whatever it might be. There's always the good stuff out there, but then you can add just a little bit to tweak what you're doing. Commentaries. There are so many good commentaries out there. Grab one and read it with your quiet time. So when you run across that hard verse, you can study it. And it's not something you just push aside so that later you're like, oh, well, I don't remember what that meant or why. It's just too hard for me to understand. But have a commentary. Read through it. Have it with your regular quiet time. And it says in the Proverbs to get more insight, get wisdom. And how we do that is by doing these type of things, reading our Bible, prayer, memorizing scripture, being and sharing the gospel, also additional study. And if you're not in a small group, this is also something that's very, very good to do, because in our small group that I'm a part of, there's a lot of times that we'll come across a verse and someone will be like, this is what I learned from it. And I'm like, oh, that's awesome. I've never heard that before, or I've never gleaned something like that. You can be fed at your small group by everyone in there. They're all just giving such good little nuggets of information that they're learning in the Bible. And so you can also contribute when you are part of that small group and give. And when you become real with your small group and all of these things start to come out, it's crazy what God can do with your little group of people. Make sure to be real in your small group, not just talk about surface things, but get really into what God's teaching you. You can really learn a lot from everybody else in your group. Other messages. We have multiple pastors at The Rock, and we're constantly all teaching on the same subject. So if you go back to Galatians, you can go to each location, and somebody different taught on those set of verses. Four messages. You could be getting three additional messages a week, come to Saturday night, and then listen to one from Draper, one from Provo, and one from West, and get four different perspectives. Sometimes we do overlap, so not every week it's like that, but it's a great way to get some additional studying and some additional Word of God being taught. Okay, so self-discipline, learn it. Here's some ways that you can do it. Hopefully you wrote those down in your notes. So the next thing is learn to sacrifice. Mark 8:34-35, and the crowd calling to him with his disciples, he said to them, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. There are a lot of people who sacrifice certain things in their life. Some of them are good, some of them are bad. Military, which I'm very thankful for those men and women who sacrificed their lives to keep our country safe. Even just this last week, 6 U.S. soldiers were killed in Afghanistan when a suicide bomber rammed an explosive-laden motorcycle into a joint NATO-Afghan patrol. Those soldiers know what it means to self-sacrifice. And then we can go on the opposite end, and we can be like, career. We self-sacrifice ourselves for our careers. And it starts to wear on our lives, where all of a sudden we're like, it's good because I'm providing for my family and I'm doing all these things, but yet you can't even spend time with your family because you're working so much. Or sports. We sacrifice a lot of time and money watching and following our favorite sports teams. We spend $10 a month or whatever it is for Red Zone. And on Sunday, that's all we do. 8 hours a day, we watch football, and then we're making sure we watch the Thursday game or the Monday game and making sure we follow up with that. We put a lot of time and energy into making sure we know exactly where the trades are happening and what teams or what player we just dropped and why we need to pick up another player. We even become our own coaches for our own teams and start making calls that we think are better than what the current coaches are making, right? Because we know so much about sports. And just like with marathon training, like I experienced, I had to put a ton of time into that. And it can be one of those things that becomes so self-sacrificing that maybe I was doing it too much and it was not a good thing. School, if you're in school, that's another one of those things where you can't get good grades if you don't sacrifice your time. You can't stay up late every night partying and expect to get straight A's. We can do the same thing with our relationships. It takes a good deal of time to train for anything. Experts will say the 10,000-hour rule. You've probably all heard of this, right? So if you were to do some rough math on this, it takes roughly 10 years at 40 hours a week to hit that number. Okay, so 10 years, 40 hours a week. Here's something convicting. Most of you will say, I can't spend 15 minutes in my Bible a day. But even if we were to say to take 15 minutes a day with reading our Bible and praying, it would take 109 years to hit that 10,000-hour mark. But how often do we watch 3 hours of TV in one night? Just one more episode. Just the next episode. It's fine. 4 hours later, you're like, oh, I just watched 4 hours of TV, but it was really hard for me to be in my Bible today. And that quote I think Brian used a couple weeks ago was like, oh, I can't read your Bible? Your Netflix history is telling something different. I've probably spent 30 minutes sometimes looking for a movie on Netflix. And so, Christian, we have to understand that being a Christian takes sacrifice. And Jesus calls us out right here. He says, whoever would lose his life, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. And we have to have that mentality with everything that we're doing in life. Are we sacrificing for ourselves, or are we sacrificing for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of Jesus? And all of those things we need to understand, 15 minutes a day is not going to cut it. That would take 109 years. Most of us will not live to be 109 years. And that's if we started when we were born, which, so we can't do that. We can't read 15 minutes a day when we're 1 year old. And so does it match up? Does our self-sacrifice match up with what the Bible has called us to be sacrificing? Marathon training takes a lot of work. If I was to just train for 15 minutes a day, I would have never been able to run a marathon. I would have never been able to run 26.2 miles. 15 minutes a day doesn't cut it. Finishing the race well means that we need to sacrifice to reach our goals. Are we willing to make those sacrifices to continually follow Jesus in the way that he wants us to follow him? Next is, are we learning the basics? We need to learn some basics. There are certain things that will make our training go so much easier in our life, and understanding that we need to eat healthy, stay hydrated, stretch before we work out. Yes, you do need to stretch before and after. You will hurt yourself if you don't. These things are just start to become natural to us when we are doing them constantly. God has some great truths for us that as well to understand, and we need to understand these, and when we do, they become second nature to us. So just a minute ago, I was talking about memorizing verses. I would say the next 5 that I have for you are really, really good verses to memorize. They're actually in your bulletin, so you don't have to write them down, but make sure you memorize these verses. We can make all the plans in the world, but if our motives and hearts are not lined up with what God has for us, we will be running our race in vain. We need to know the basics, basic truths, and when we get down and feel like we want to give up, when we're in those points in our life where we're just like, I just want to give up, I'm so done, God loves us, and we have to understand that. He wants us to succeed. He wants us to fully express ourselves in him. He has given us talents, and he wants us to use them for his glory. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. God works out all things for your good. Romans 8:28, and we know that in all things, God works out the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. This is such a good verse to memorize, because when we get in those spots where it's like, what is going on, God? He can say, I'm working it out for your good. It might not seem good, but it is for your good. Just keep moving. Keep running this race. You will finish and it will be good, but don't give up. God loves you. We need to understand this. 1 John 3:19, how great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. That is what we are. As Christians, we are children of God, and that is something special. That is not something to be taken lightly. God has forgiven you. He has forgiven all of your sins, not just some, all. Colossians 2:13, when you were dead in your sin and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive in Christ. He forgave us all our sins. So not only does God love us, not only does God want the best for us, he also says, you're forgiven in all of your garbage that you do and all of your sin. I still love you in all of it. I love you and I want you to succeed. I want you to continue to run this race. God has recreated you. 2 Corinthians 5:17. He says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. In all of these verses, God says, I want to be with you. I do not want you to do this alone. I want to be with you in all aspects of your life, whether you're driving to work, whether you're at home watching TV, whatever it is, please bring me along with you because I love you. I want the best for you. This is not something that I'm just saying. It's something I truly want for you. And Christian, you have to know this. These are such basic truths, but a lot of us forget them. Oh, it's not going my way. Well, God has plans for you, and you have to believe that. Oh, God's not so good to me because of this. Yes, he is. You just don't know it yet. Oh, God does not love me because I did this. Yes, he does, no matter what your sin is. He has forgiven you. He has recreated you. Your old life means nothing. He wants you to be renewed. He doesn't want you to look back at that and be like, oh, this is ruining my relationship with you, with Jesus. It's not. He's saying, I love you. I want to be with you in all things, all of your life. I want you to be with me. And we need to know those basics because those are going to get us through those hard times when we are down and when we don't feel like God is with us. These truths will speak to us and tell us the opposite of what we're feeling. And so with that, the next thing we need to understand is learn to live in community. We need each other. You cannot run this Christian life on your own. Nowhere in the Bible can you give me that says, God wants me to be a lone Christian. And just, I taught it on community a couple months ago, and if you actually want to listen to that, I would say go do it. It's a great message. It's probably the best one ever, right? Because I taught it. Oh, whoops. You don't want to see that just yet. So Acts 2:42, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to the prayers. This is not something that we think that, oh, we don't need to do. This is something that we need to do. Devote ourselves to the pastors. Devote ourselves to the teachings. Devote ourselves to the fellowship. Devote ourselves to breaking of bread together and praying together and being together because we'll never get through this life if we do try to do it on our own. Here's some great examples. Here's my first one, right? Ben Roethlisberger, Antonio Brown, and their whole offensive line, okay? Best football team out there right now. We'll see them at the Super Bowl. Woody and Buzz and the crew, right? You've got a friend in me. It's great. You've ever seen these? Spoiler alert, sorry, but like in the third one when they're all like going to burn, it is like it's actually a great picture because it's like they all were together in it. And of course they get saved, which is awesome. So hopefully you've seen that and that's not a spoiler for you. We all watch Star Wars, so this is also a good one, you know. Han, Chewie, Luke, and Leia. They all needed each other. They couldn't have done this on their own. They couldn't have blown up the Death Star. They couldn't have done all the things that they did if they tried to do it on their own. Doc and Marty, right? You got Frodo and the crew. These are just some great examples. But even in the Bible, we see this. Jesus had his 12. He didn't do it on his own. He knew that he needed his earthly companions as well as God to get him through everything in his life. Jesus gives us a wonderful example that we need to be together in this, that we cannot do it on our own. And one like example that I can even give, just even with my first marathon training, which was awesome, is we all pumped each other up. We all trained together. Like, we got together, we all were together at the finish or the start line, and we started running. And at certain points, we got lost from each other. But then we'd get caught up together, and it was awesome because I wasn't good at stretching, and Alex Krila was really good at stretching. And he was like, all right, you got to stretch. And so he's like, okay, let's stretch. Or when I got closer to the finish line, I'd run into Adam Tolman, and he's like, okay, let's keep going. And we'd spur each other on to finish the race. It would be so much harder to run a race like that without community. And it is so good to make sure that we put ourselves in those scenarios where we actually are part of a small group, we're part of community, because we need to do it to run the race well together. We need to be devoted to one another. Romans 12:10, love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. That's pretty straightforward, right? It's not just, oh, let me bring someone a meal real quick and that's it, I'm done. Okay, that's good. Outdo one another in showing honor. Love one another with brotherly affection. It's like the story of, you know, my little boy Leo, he's 7 years old. And he'd come up to me one day and he says, Dad, you don't build Legos with me enough, so I'm going to go find another family. And I'm like, okay. And he says, you know, you don't like Star Wars as much as me, so I'm going to go find another family. That would be pretty silly. But a lot of times us as Christians, we do the same thing. We come to church and we're like, the coffee's not that great, so I'm going to go find another church. Or the music is not as good as I want it to be. The pastors aren't reformed enough. Whatever, I don't like this church anymore, so I'm going to go somewhere else. And we see that a lot. We don't commit to each other. We just say, okay, something's hard, see you later. Goodbye. But we need to devote ourselves to the other believers. And with that, we need to be loving towards other believers. John 13:35. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Again, we see this with small groups where we rally together. When someone has a baby, we get them meals, we take care of them. When someone's feeling down, we help them out. And just even recently, we had a miscarriage and it was awesome. It was just great to see the community that we had around us. They brought us meals. They were praying for us. We knew that they were there for us. This wasn't something that we had to do on our own. And God does that on purpose. He gives us that community so that we can build each other up. We need to be on mission with one another. Ephesians 5:23, Christ is the head of the church. His body is which the Savior. We are on mission, and we need to do that together. Just like when we sent the West Church plant, and just like when we go on mission trips to Europe, when we go to Honduras, we need to be together with other believers, and just like what we're going to do here coming up in the summer. Be imitators of other believers. Proverbs 13:20, whoever walks with the wise become wise, but the companions of fools will suffer harm. Do you hang out with people that cause you more harm than good? Are you coming to church on Saturday night, but then the rest of the week you don't even hang out with Christians that are just influencing you to do bad things? In the end, again, it's going to be one of those, what you sow, what you reap is what you're going to sow. So with all that, the last thing is this. Follow God relentlessly and determine to never quit. Being determined to never quit, actually, is something that came for me at a different time. And this is the last story. I'll end on this. But I ran a marathon a couple years ago, actually. And it's one of those things where in our Christian life, we pray for everything to go good. Like, we pray for good weather with our races. We pray that we don't get hurt and all of these different things. And we ran this race in Ogden. And it started off, the beginning of the week was like nice weather. Well, at the race day, it was raining the entire time. 26.2 miles of running in the rain is not fun. We do that in our Christian life where we say, God, please give us clear skies, but it's hard now. So I'm not going to run today because it's raining outside. This race is hard. I'm not going to do it. But as I started running this race, I started running, and it's cold, and it's wet, and you're soaked from head to toe, and it's miserable. And there's a relay going on, and you run into the first relay bus, and the bus is like picking up all the relays, and this is like, I think, 6 miles in. And it's like, oh, I can get on that bus too. But then I'm not going to complete the race. So then I keep going, and I hit the half marathon mark, and my shoe busts. The insole starts to slip up, and my foot is starting to hurt really bad. And there's a bus, but I don't get on the bus. I keep going. And then there's another relay bus, but I keep going, even though the pain is excruciating in my feet. I get to the end of that race and I finished. That's a picture for me, how God wants us to continually run our race for him. It's going to be hard. It's going to be horrible conditions sometimes. It's going to be one of the worst things you've ever experienced. But God says, I'm with you. I love you. I want to be with you. I want you to finish this race. Don't give up. Keep going. Keep going. Never quit. And we as Christians have to relentlessly follow Christ. And we have to determine to never quit. Galatians 6:9, let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap what we do not give up. Great quote by Babe Ruth. Every strike brings me closer to the next home run. Guy didn't give up. He kept going. And when we come to our end of our life, we're going to be tired. It's going to be messy. Life is going to be messy. You're going to maybe feel hopeless at some points in your life. You're going to have obstacles. And again, there is an enemy out there who is rooting against you. Remember, your teammates are here to cheer you on. Do not ever feel like you're alone. Do not ever feel like God has abandoned you. In 2016, I challenge you all to determine individually and as a church to run hard for God, to finish well. We want to hear, when life is done, well done, good and faithful servant. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for tonight. Again, just thank you so much for your word that you continually teach us something new. Lord, I just ask that whatever you've written on our hearts tonight, that we can take it home and apply it. Lord, I ask that as we come into the year 2016, as we have New Year's resolutions on our hearts, that we have a resolution to just be more with you. Whatever it might be, that we just continually draw you in closer to us through all the things that we do on a daily basis, whatever it might be. And Lord, we just love you so much. We commit our night to you. And these things we pray. Amen.